Touch thou my lips, so that I may speak of thee, Lord Jesus, in a way that I could not apart from your fresh touch. Touch thou our minds and think through them. Touch thou our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, so far we've had two studies in Abraham's life of faith, and this evening we have a third study, and I've called it Integrity in Conflict. And we all know that it can on occasions be difficult to maintain worthwhile relationships with others. As Christians, we'll have times of conflict, sometimes with an unbearable neighbour, sometimes with an unreasonable employer, and perhaps with someone from a public body who just doesn't understand. Sometimes it's with a relative or even a fellow Christian. And the answer to coping with these types of problems is not revenge or hostility. And denying that there's a problem and hoping it will go away is also not a solution. And as we think about integrity, we're reminded of some relevant Bible verses in Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And Hebrews 12, 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. So we're to positively make every effort to live in at peace with everyone. And this is part of the consistency of living as a Christian, living a life of integrity. And as God's people, our goal should be to build and preserve relationships. And this is what Abraham does in this passage. And I think in these verses we'll discover three principles that will perhaps help us to deal with conflict situations and what follows from them. And I'm going to use those principles as headings. The first is, where there is conflict, make peace. Aim to get things sorted. Don't let it drag on. Work towards an agreement so that there can be peace. Now, when this chap Abimelech was last on the scene, that was in chapter 20 in the previous chapter, Abraham had wronged Abimelech by deceiving him. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago in chapter 20. And the chapter ends as Abraham prayed a blessing to heal Abimelech, and that his wife and his female slaves could have children again. So in chapter 20 it says this: Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves, so they could have children again. Now this time Abimelech brought with him the commander of his forces, Phicol, and he wants to sign a peace treaty with Abraham. And King Abimelech proposes to enter into a treaty because he realizes that God's hand is upon Abraham. So verse 22 of our reading. At that time Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me, or my children, or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you now reside as a foreigner the same kindness I have shown to you. And Abraham said, I swear it. In other words, Abimelech had sensed that Abraham enjoyed special divine provision and protection. Now, Abraham was far from perfect. He had his faults and failings, as we saw in that chapter 20. Yet Abimelech knew that God was with Abraham. And as a result, he wanted to have a treaty with Abraham in order to protect himself and his people from being on the wrong side of Abraham's God. There was something about Abraham that Abimelech had noticed. And this is very similar to the experience of Peter and John in Acts, in chapter 4. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And in fact, for me, it was in seeing integrity in the lives of other Christians that first attracted me to their faith and the one whom they worshipped, who I subsequently took as my Saviour, Lord and God. In spite of our imperfections and ordinariness, is there something about us that causes others to sit up and take notice? Yes, in spite of these things, in spite of the way we are, God can still reveal his grace in us and through us to a watching world. So despite the failings of Abraham in the previous chapter, God now gives Abraham another chance. I much enjoyed the Free Church of Scotland services where we stand to pray and sit to sing, and more often than not from the Book of Psalms. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. And that's from Psalm 23 in the words of the Scottish paraphrase. If we fall, there's no reason to remain down. God can restore us as we turn to him. And that's what happened with Abraham. God wants to use us, and God gives us an opportunity to be cleansed from our sins. Those precious words in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Abimelech respected Abraham's God, but he didn't much trust Abraham. After all, Abraham had deceived him in the past, and Abimelech had nearly lost his life because of Abraham's deception. Chapter 20, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. By putting Abraham on oath, Abimelech sought to remedy the past problem of Abraham's deception. Abimelech could never have a positive relationship with Abraham until he was sure he could trust him. And this could only happen if Abraham was honest from this point forward. Integrity needed to be clearly seen in Abraham's life. And integrity is needed in our life of faith, as we've seen in our recent morning series in the Epistle of James. Words and deeds must coincide. People must be able to depend on our words and promises. And that's all part of our integrity. And as believers in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4 is helpful to us. In verse 15, we're called to speak the truth in love. In 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we're all members of one body. And in 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The pagan king Abimelech made the first move, and he's demonstrating humility. Abimelech also displayed courage, because he didn't know how Abraham might react. Sometimes the best efforts of a peacemaker might be rejected. In this case, also, Abimelech did not know how Abraham would respond. If he got angry, it might even lead to war. However, Abraham did respond by agreeing to Abimelech's plan of peace. If we need to sort out broken relationships, then we need to make a commitment to it and to have integrity in our lives and to seek peace as far as it depends on us. What would Jesus do is a popular question to ask in times of having to think what to do. But that's far better replaced by, what has Jesus commanded us to do in his word? That's a much more searching question. So we've looked at the need to make peace where there is no peace. And now we move to our second principle, and we'll take that as a heading. Maintain peace if it's about to be broken, or if there's a possibility of it failing. Well, they'd made peace and Abraham had sworn his commitment to the treaty. But is Abraham's complaining now going to spoil things? Verse 25. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who's done this. You did not tell me, and I only heard about it today. Was Abraham justified in complaining at this point, so soon after the peace treaty came into being? I think that he probably was. Because if he'd allowed the issue to fester, then pretty soon the whole peace treaty might fall apart. It would have been easier to have overlooked it. But if we wish to live in peace with others, speaking the truth in love is the way forward. So Abraham took the sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. In contrast to Abraham's previous fear of Abimelech in the previous chapter, we see him standing up boldly to this powerful king. Maybe his walk with God had increased his maturity and given him a greater trust in God. Being open and straightforward is part and parcel of the integrity required of us. Abraham and Abimelech also show great patience with each other. Either of them could have been very touchy concerning this complaint about the well. And peacemaking requires patience, because attitudes don't change quickly. In this case, both Abimelech and Abraham had to learn to live together, despite their differences in background and religion. Patience is the willingness to wait for God to solve the problems that confronts us. So many times we get frustrated with other people because they're not changing fast enough to suit us. You get frustration in families, perhaps even in Christian families. It's easy for us to throw up our hands and say, what's wrong with these people? But maybe that's the wrong question, because it focuses all the attention on others, whereas the spotlight ought really to be on our own impatience. If we've committed to the Lord the people who frustrate us, then we simply wait for God to do his work. So verse 27, Abraham bought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, what's the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you've set apart by themselves? Abraham replied, accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. In the previous conflict in chapter 20, it was Abimelech who had modelled generosity. because there we read that Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham. And he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "My land is before you. Live wherever you like." And to Sarah he said, "I'm giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver." But in this chapter, it's Abraham who returns the favor in a small way. It's his way of saying, "I want to do my part to maintain peace. I want to dwell in harmony." This little gesture made a big difference, and small gestures can have big results. So we've thought through the need for integrity in the life of faith, in which we're called to make peace. And just now we looked at maintaining peace when things could start to go wrong. And so we move to the third principle as a heading: manage peace. Use the peace to worship God and to work for God with others. So verse 31, so that place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistine. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. So by planting a tree, Abraham indicated his determination to stay in that region. Apparently tamarisk trees are long-lived and evergreen. And the tree was meant to be a lasting landmark to God's provision and a focal point of Abraham's worship. It served as a symbol of the enduring grace of the faithful God. And after planting the tree, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And this is a phrase that suggests worship and public proclamation. In honor of the Lord, Abraham called on the eternal God. And apparently the Hebrew phrase El Olam is only used here. And that name stresses God's everlasting nature. And God's promises and covenant are everlasting because God himself is eternal. Abraham has now found God to be what he claimed earlier to be, a shield to him. In chapter 15, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." Abraham seems to be growing in his knowledge of God, for he now calls him the everlasting God. Even through this time of conflict in his family and amongst his neighbours, Abraham kept a real live walk with God. Conflict and adversity can, for some, drive them away from God, but it can also be a means of drawing us closer to God. And the last three verses tell of the positive results of the peace treaty. Abimelech and his men returned home. Abraham worshipped God in Beersheba, and Abraham lived in peace for a long time. Abraham now owned a small part of the land that God had promised him. By granting Abraham rights to a well, Abimelech had made it possible for Abraham to live there permanently and had acknowledged his legal rights to water. In other words, after so many delays, the promises of land and descendants at last seemed to be on the way to fulfillment. Gradually, Abraham is establishing roots in the land, digging wells and planting trees. Additionally, as relationships are established with the peoples of the land, the blessing is taking root. In chapter 12, we had this: I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So finally, the relationship with God is taking root as land and family become established. Abraham had everything going for him. His wife, his promised son, his land, his servants, his wealth, and peace with all his neighbours. Life is good for Abraham. But beware. This can set up a false sense of security. For who knows what major disruptions and challenges lie ahead. And of course, God is doing a work to prepare Abraham, for in the next chapter, a very big test lies ahead for him. And that we'll think about in a fortnight's time. So God's goodness does not lie in the material things he's provided, but in what he has done for us, and in preparing us for the challenges that lie ahead. We can learn much about integrity as we study the interactions between King Abimelech and Abraham. Make peace. Where there is discord, don't let it drag on. Work towards an agreement so there can be peace. Aim to get things sorted. Maintain peace if it seems that peace could be lost or is about to be broken. And if there is peace, manage that peace. Make the most of present opportunities. Amen.